If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These words are from the letter of the Apostle St. Paul to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians. And this reading is often chosen by wedding couples. We hear this often at wedding masses and ceremonies. And one of the things we do in a part of the liturgy is we allow the couples to choose their readings. And this reading is almost always chosen. It's a wonderful meditation on the reality of love. Now remember that the one who is giving these words is an apostle of Jesus Christ. St. Paul was one person who at one time despised Jesus Christ and wanted nothing to do with the church, and then the grace of Christ touched his heart and made him a fearless defender of the gospel. And it is he who is meditating upon the reality of love. Now, without love, life itself loses its meaning. We become incomprehensible to ourselves if we don't experience the reality of love. In the gospel, there's a passage which says that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to us to save us. And what happened in the life of Jesus, who came to manifest the love of God for all people, is many people rejected him. Now, we have to take that as a warning. There were people who saw Jesus, who heard his voice, who witnessed his miracles, and they rejected him when they didn't like his teaching. Many people drew away from him, others literally persecuted him outrightly. And if people can reject Christ, even when they see him, it means that the love in their heart has grown cold. They have no love for God or for others in their heart. And if it can happen to them, it can happen to us. Without love, the whole world, the whole project of humanity would grow cold and meaningless. So we have to be people of love. And St. Paul the Apostle teaches us what love really is. And in his letter to the Corinthians, he talks about faith, hope, and love. Those are things that we can practice in our lifetime. Faith is pointed towards God, faith in God. We believe that he exists, that he's real. We believe everything that he says and has revealed to us. Hope in God. It points us towards the kingdom of heaven, where we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, where we look forward to eternal life in heaven. That's hope. And love is when we believe that God is most important, when we seek to do his will, when we believe that he really is our Father. Now, on this earth, we need faith, hope, and love. It's like a little spiritual compass in our soul that we have to know how to use and we have to refer to often as we make our journey through this world. Faith in God, hope in God, and love for God. But in heaven, we don't need to have faith anymore because we see God face to face. We don't need to believe in him. We now know him clearly by the light of revelation in heaven. And we don't need to hope in God anymore when we're in heaven because we have everything we could ever have. There's nothing more to look forward to. There is eternal life in the communion of the Trinity, of all the saints and the angels. But we will still have love in heaven. The saints and the angels are united in their love for God and their love for each other. And that love is ultimately what eternal life is. And so love truly is forever. It is forever and eternal. It's stronger than the passage of time. And so we need to love now. We need to practice love now so that we can begin to live now that blessed life, that heavenly life of God's children in the kingdom of God. And so the Apostle Paul teaches us how to love rightly. In this reading from his letter to the Corinthians, he teaches us many practical things, and it's important for us to listen to his words. He tells us that love is patient, and that means we need to endure some kind of hardship for the sake of those we love. You know, parents can understand this very easily. They have to be patient with their children. And God is patient with us. Imagine if the Lord were not patient with us, and our faithlessness or our sins was immediately punished by him. Well, then none of us would have the courage to approach God. But he shows us his patience. Well, the Apostle Paul is teaching us that this is love, that love is patient. If we are always ready to lash out in anger at people, then we're not living love. Even if our anger is motivated by trying to lead people to excellence, if we're always lashing out in anger at people, either verbally or physically, or through text messages and Facebook messages or emails, then we don't have love. We're not living love. You know, often on Facebook, people will post pictures of things that will say something like, stay calm and get a tattoo or something, or stay calm and eat a chocolate pie or something. But the calm disposition we really want is the calmness of being patient. And that's love, love for others. Love is kind, which means we seek the goodness of others. You know, this world needs that so much that, you know, we need to seek what's best for others all the time. This begins in our families and among our friends and relatives. St. Paul tells us in this reading that love is not jealous. Now, jealousy is poison. I tell young couples who are preparing for marriage, they got to watch out for jealousy. Jealousy is when I'm angry or resentful that someone else is more successful or more gifted than I am, or in a better position in life or at work, or more financially secure than I am, more healthy or something, or more popular. But jealousy gets into someone's heart and it wounds the relationship they have from within. They start to reject their family members and their friends and their spouse through jealousy. They begin to despise that person because of this spirit of jealousy. But the apostle is telling us love is not jealous. If I love, then if someone is better than me at everything I do, if someone is in a better position, is more peaceful, is financially richer, is more secure, is more popular, is better at everything, I should rejoice. That's love, because I'm seeking their goodness. I should be happy when someone else is more successful than I am. Because you know something, if we really have our hope in heaven, then if we're living for Christ, we already have everything. So we cannot be jealous. And then the Apostle Paul tells us that love is not arrogant or rude. So we cannot look down upon others. We cannot belittle people. You know, one of the things that most schools today teach is they're against bullying. And they'll have signs throughout the school that say things like no bully zone, or, you know, a lot of the kids will be trained nowadays to watch out for becoming a bully. Well, being a bully is something that not only kids can experience, but adults can too as well. I recently spoke to someone, and this person was telling me that in their workplace, one of the mid-level bosses was a bully and used to belittle all the other workers, and they were busy working hard in their job, and this boss would come along and literally insult them and put them down and disrespect them to the point where a number of the employees were crying when they experienced this act of being bullied around. Well, being a bully goes against love. And I've often discovered that people who are bullies, they have a deep wound in their own life, and that wound is causing them to become very cold toward others. We got to be careful, though, in our own life that we don't belittle or look down upon others. And again, this begins in our local situation, in our family, in our workplace, at our school. We cannot be arrogant or rude. If we are, then we're missing out on love. Love does not insist on its own way. Now, the first time we learn about not insisting on our own way is in the prayer that Jesus teaches us. He says that we have to say to God, "Thy will be done." He's training us not to seek our will, but the will of God. And we want to try to have this humility to seek, first of all, the will of God in everything, and be ready to often let go of our own will. You know, in a lifetime of someone who is happy and peaceful, they've probably let go of their will a million times or more. Parents sometimes have to do this with their children when their children want to do something else or something. But if we're always seeking our own will, then we're not respecting others. We're not having that humility to recognize maybe my will is not the best. Even though I may think it looks like the best, maybe there's a better way. So if I have love, I can't go through my life demanding that my will be done. You know, we only have a short time on this earth, and that time was not given to us to do our will, but to do God's will. And then love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the right. Now, every one of us wants to get ahead in life. We want to become more successful, more popular. We want to have more money and so many other things. And we could do a lot of wrong things that could get us ahead. You know, you can lie. You can be unfaithful to your promises. You can steal. And all those things can get you a little ahead in life, in your vision of life. But really, when you do wrong, it's like a boomerang. Ultimately, it comes back and gets you. It always happens. Well, if we rejoice in doing wrong, we don't have love. That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. We're supposed to rejoice in the right, in what is true, good, and beautiful. And so, even if doing something wrong can get us ahead, we have to say, nope, that's not the way of love. That's not living the blessed life of heaven. And so these are just a number of teachings that St. Paul the Apostle gives us. Now remember, he's someone who's inspired by the Spirit of Christ Jesus our Lord. He's teaching us that love is not just a passing sentiment, but it's a way of life. It's a way of life that each of us can live in good times or in very sorrowful and hard times. It's a way of thinking, and it points us towards the eternal life of heaven. The greatest example of love is Jesus Christ himself on the cross. And he shows us on the cross that living by his commandment of love involves a self-sacrifice. Now, Jesus unites love for God and love for one another in the great command. And we think of love for God, it's like a vertical reality. We look above to the heavens. And if we think of love for one another, that's a horizontal. We look to those who are around us, equal before God. So you have the vertical love for God and horizontal love for one another, and you have the cross. You have the cross of Jesus. And even though love requires many sacrifices, many, many little sacrifices each day and other big ones throughout our lifetime, the cross also, though, looks like a plus sign. In mathematics, it looks like a plus sign. So that can remind us that love really, even when it's self-sacrificing, is positive, and it makes things better. So, brothers and sisters, may we listen to these teachings of the Apostle Paul and really, really live them. The way of true love is the way of Jesus Christ. May we follow Christ's great command and example of love. In this way, we shall be more ready for that heavenly life. We'll be living now that life of beatitude, the life of blessedness. And if we live by the great command of love, along the way to heaven, we can make this world a little bit better, one person at a time. God bless you.